The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. My name is Ann Rostosky, and I am the current president of the fellowship, and I am also one of today's worship leaders. So I'd like to welcome everyone here. We have some visitors from England with us today, and they are Thomas Paine aficionados. What does Preston call them? Paniacs. They're Paniacs. So I'm so happy they could join us for our service today, and they may be able to shed a little light on our topic as well. So whoever you are, whoever you love, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, thank you for being here today. I'd like to welcome those of you who are here in person in the sanctuary and those of you who are on Zoom. Thanks for being with us for this hour. And now I will turn it over to Alex, and she will do the chalice lighting for today.
As we kindle this flame, we honor and remember those who have passed into mystery. Their brightness lives in our vision. Their courage lives on in our commitments, and their love continues to bless the world through us.
Whoa. Ooh, try again.
Spooky.
Spooky, yeah. Our ancestors are saying hello.
Interesting. And now we'll light the peace lamp. You can respond with the words on the screen. Peace be with us.
And with all the peoples of the world.
And now we will have our gathering song, which is in the gray hymnal, if you'd like to pick one up there in the back. And please stand as you're willing and able.
Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have any children today. However, I'm still going to do the moment for all ages because I will be talking about it later as well. I think they're all tired from the pumpkin carving last night, probably. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have a book, so actually you can stay there because it's a video today. But thank you for volunteering. And this is Samhain, the story of Halloween.
Story of Halloween. It began here, on this island, long ago in the time of druids, fierce Celtic kings and warriors. In those times, Halloween was known as Samhain. It was a festival to mark the passage of summer into winter. People gave thanks for their harvests and prayed for protection in the harsh months ahead. It was also believed that on Samhain night, the veils between this world and the other world dissolved, allowing the mysterious spirit folk, the Aeshi, to roam among the living. People carried home the light of the sacred bonfire, believing it would ward off harmful spirits. They carved hideous turnip lanterns to scare the mischievous Pooka away. Food was prepared to welcome back the spirits of the dead. If offerings weren't made to appease the spirits, bad luck might follow. Some helpful children went door to door, reminding people to pay their dues. Years later, Samhain became known as All Hallows' Eve, a time to pray for the holy souls. But the Irish carried their traditions to America, where Hallows' Eve eventually became the frivolous commercial brouhaha we know today. And now you know the history of Halloween. Keep safe this Samhain. Carve those pumpkins. And be sure to offer your treats to the fairy folk, lest some unpleasant luck befall you one of these dark, cold nights.
Responsive reading, if you will respond with the words in red on the screen. Today, the peace of autumn pervades the world.
In the radiant noon, silent and motionless, the wide stillness rests like a tired bird.
Spreading over the deserted fields to all horizons, its wings of golden green.
Today,
the many distant villages bask in the sun with eyes closed in idle and languid slumber.
In the stillness I hear in every blade of grass.
In every speck of dust, in every part of my own body, in the visible and invisible worlds.
In the plants, the sun, and the stars, the joyous dance of the atoms through endless time.
Good morning. Today I would be talking about Samhain. It doesn't sound like the way it's spelled, does it?
Yeah.
That's because it comes from the Old English, I think. That's what I read. And as you saw in the Moment for All Ages, Samhain was celebrated by the Celts, and that was 2,500 years ago. But actually, it has been discovered that there were archaeological remains that date back to the Neolithic period, 6,000 years ago. So this has been celebrated for a very long time. And as you also saw in the moment for all ages, it's the precursor to our Halloween. In those times, unlike today, where we can go to the grocery store to get whatever we want, whenever we want, pretty much, the people were tied to the land. That was their livelihood. They were very dependent on the weather and the seasons and what they could plant and how it would grow. That's how they sustained themselves. So it seems kind of natural that they felt that the earth was spiritual and that nature was very important to them. So I was talking with my friend Elise yesterday about today's program, and she said, "What's paganism?" So I thought probably a lot of you aren't familiar with it, and I should describe what it is. So of course I went to the internet, to BeliefNet, and so this comes from there. Paganism is a term for a variety of spiritual beliefs and practices that are different from those of Christianity, Islam, or Judaism. It can also refer to the ancient polytheistic religions that inspired contemporary pagan beliefs. These are generalizations, okay? It may not be on target for every pagan, but these are some broad assumptions. Paganism is characterized by belief in the divine. Pagans believe that the divine is present in the natural world and that the world is a place of life and joy. Some pagans believe in multiple gods and goddesses, while others see them as names and forms that help people connect with the divine. Reverence for nature. Pagans believe in the spiritual meanings of natural cycles like birth, growth, and death. They also believe in reincarnation and accept death as a natural part of life. Non-authoritarian religion. Pagans believe that no one religion is better than another, and that people should be free to worship the divine in their own way. Seasonal festivals. Some pagans observe seasonal festivals, such as we are today by celebrating Samhain. And I don't know if you recall the Wheel of the Year back in the first slide, it showed the eight different pagan holidays that form the Wheel of the Year. But they consider Samhain kind of like a new year, because things are dying off and new things will be growing in the spring. Thank you, John. So you have Samhain, Yule, Imbolc, Ostara, which is Easter, Beltane, which is spring, Litha, summer, Lammas, Mabon, and Samhain. So those are the eight holidays that are celebrated. I'd kind of like to end this part with a little prayer. And then we will come up and we will honor our ancestors by putting their pictures here. And if you weren't able to bring a picture, but you would still like to honor an ancestor, we have candles here that you could light instead. And I'd like to invite one row at a time to come up so it doesn't get too crowded up here. And the reason the pagans honor their relatives this time of year is that, I think this was in the video too, they consider that the veil is thin between the real world and the spiritual world. So it's a time when our ancestors might hear what we're saying and maybe they'll give us guidance for the future, that type of thing. So this is a good time for us to honor our relatives. So whether you celebrate Samhain or not at this time of year, I invite you to join with me in this Samhain wish and prayer for the new year, that humankind will progress in appreciating and respecting diversity across religions and cultures, and that humans will not only be in better relations with each other, but in greater harmony with the greater circle of nature of which we are all a part. Blessed be. And I will start off with my picture. We'd like you to say their name into the microphone as you do this. It's already on. We're going row by row, Jerry. Some people can't follow instructions. I'm a substitute teacher. I know that only too well. Thomas and Rita Jarman. Okay, people in the first row can come up.
My parents, Jim and Erica Lutweiler.
My mother, Frieda Eshelman Weaver.
My mother, Judy Smith, and my grandmother, Mary Brodesky.
It's a picture of my parents at their 50th wedding anniversary there. And that's the wedding picture of my maternal grandparents. And that's a picture of my grandfather's store on Ridge Avenue in Philadelphia. And I wound up, I pulled out a whole album. I actually have some pictures of a great grandmother in Italy and so forth, but there's just not enough room for all that. But these are all people who, in one way or another, of course, had a great influence on my life.
Okay, the next row, second row.
My late grandmother, Laura Davidson.
For all the cats I've lost.
For Dana Wilkie, Ann Marion, and Bernard Adams.
I have pictures of my two brothers, Cameron Shea Gunter and Stephen Lamar Bush II. And then I don't have a picture of my grandfather, but his name is Ernest Cower.
For my paternal grandmother in Northern Ireland, Matilda Lilly, whose brother emigrated to Philadelphia in the 1920s.
A
For my grandparents, Jack and Marjorie Woodhull. For my uncle, Michael Rooser Sr., and for my grandfather, Earl Thomas.
I'm going to jump here in the middle. For my father, Dick Sayer, and I'll also light a candle for Gail's father, Stanley Chertok. So the picture of my father is up here. I have a really formal picture of him that's been sitting on my nightstand, and I went to get it this morning, and he has left the building, so I don't know where he's gone to. But this is a picture of my father when he visited the Phillies Dream Week a number of years ago and spent a week throwing baseballs a lot and getting very sore. So.
Third row.
Oh, thank you. She's just waiting.
To my brother, Bill Culp, and my father, Billy Culp. Thank you.
For my mother, Ginny Stone, and my father, Jack Stone.
This is for my mother, Angie Larsenese, who used to attend here, and for my dog, Pookie Larsenese.
For my mother, Idell Shore, and my father, Marvin Shore, and I'm going to also honor all my relations today.
Okay, the fourth row can come up now.
I'm remembering my parents, Kurt and Laura Stauffer.
I'd like to remember my mother, Frances Boyle, and my father, Franklin Boyle, and also my brother, Peter Boyle. Thank you.
Do you want to go here?
I want to remember my papi, Joseph Fazio.
This is for my immediate family. My last two sisters passed away this year, and my whole family's gone. I'm the last one of eight people.
Anyone else who would like to come up? Is there? There's a fifth row, I guess, sorry. And in the back.
I will light a candle for the family of my childhood, all of whom are gone, except me.
I've brought a photograph that includes myself and my sister, who are both still living, but it's got both my grandmothers in it, Louise Getz Coleman and Isabel Monroe Rogers.
For my paternal grandmother, Bridetta Roland May. Okay. Anybody else want to be in a picture?
Ancestors, we call to you. Ancestors, we remember you. Ancestors, we honor you. And now we will have a Samhain song.
The ritual begin. We call upon our sacred ancestors to come in. Samhain, we call upon our kin. We call upon our dear departed loved ones to come in. Thin. A hearts reach across the sea of time to bring our loved ones in. So in, we honor all our kin. We honor those who've gone before, and the great wheel turns again.
Today we are observing the pagan Sabbath of Samhain. I have found myself drawn to the pagan traditions because they so deeply recognize that as humans, we are one with nature, that we are, above all else, of the earth itself. In modern times, we so desperately try to distance ourselves from this fact, but I believe that much can be gained from reflecting on the soft animal side of our being that feels the earth and draws knowledge from our tether to her. If you're like me, you've been spending the last few weeks enjoying the transitions of the trees from their summery greens to the golds and reds of autumn. Samhain is all about marking this beautiful time of year when the harvests are through and the darkness of winter creeps up on us all. We think of those who have passed on from this life as the days grow shorter, colder, and darker. We are witnessing an annual cosmic slowing. Our bodies feel this truth, and we know intellectually that winter is a time of hibernation. But more and more, it seems that we are pressured to ignore the way the darkness pulls us to be slower. As winter approaches, many of us lament feeling tired, trying to keep up the busy schedules that may have felt exciting and invigorating over the summer months. In our society, there is endless pressure to do more, more, more. There is money to be made, new workout plans to be done, hobbies to turn into side hustles, the latest show to watch, or gadget, clothes, car, etc. to buy. But what if it was okay to listen to the signs that the fast-paced life of summer and capitalism are not viable at this time? to simply slow down and join this cosmic slowing that our bodies implore us to take note of. Samhain guides us into the dark half of the year and invites us not only to accept these changes, but to embrace them and be in deep conversation with them. I encourage you to try a simple exercise that may shepherd you away from the go, 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 and the all too common evening routine of mindlessly spending time on your screens. I don't know if it's just me. Actually, I know it's not just me. At dusk, find a place where you can sit outside. Take note of your start time. Spend a few minutes on your phone, tablet, or laptop. Watch videos, scroll social media, read the news, whatever you feel. After a few minutes, and it may be interesting to see how long you get lost in there, after a few minutes, take note of how long you were on your screen. Take a moment to scan your body. How do you feel? For me, usually tight, tense, almost like my body's on hyperdrive. Now set a timer for the amount of time you spent on your screen and see how it feels to simply sit outside and mindfully observe the world around you. Are there animals around? What's happening in the sky? Is the sun setting? Is there a breeze? How does the air feel on your skin, in your lungs? This time, how quickly does time pass and what happens in your body? Time seems to stretch much longer, tightness fades, I feel much more grounded. This for me is part of the magic of this time of year, the reminder that I have the power to remove myself from the relentless pace of modern life. After this, I find that I look at my phone and viscerally do not want to go back to it. I like to go about my evening by candlelight for a while to really immerse myself around Samhain. Now that we've made this calm and lovely space for ourselves, what are we to do with it? This season offers many ways to feel grounded and present. Try an old favorite or start your own Samhain traditions. Maybe cook a favorite seasonal recipe. Maybe don't cook by candlelight unless you're more talented than me. But maybe cook a favorite recipe of one of your ancestors and savor the flavors while you think of them and the impact that they've had on your life. If you feel inclined, leave some of the meal out as an offering to the spirit of your loved one, or carve a pumpkin to light their way for their spirit to find you. Another favorite of mine is to journal about where you hope to be by the end of winter. Write down some small goals that may help you get there, some seeds to plant for the future. It's also a great time to go inward and reflect on fears and anxieties. From death comes rebirth, and from this time of hibernation and introspection comes rejuvenation. Here's another lovely little ritual I found online. Take an apple and slice it in the middle so that the five-pointed star at its center can be seen. Sit in silence, pondering on the mystery that out of death and loss, the seeds of new life come. Each one of us that lives or has lived is both the fruit that falls and the seed that will start the cycle of life all over again. Eat your apple, giving thanks for the nourishment and gift of your life. Samhain gives us an opportunity to pause, to come back to center, and to take stock of what is happening in the here and now. Give yourself permission to block out all the excess noise, to be swept up in the slowing and the darkness, along with the earth itself. It reminds us that we are part of the cycle that no living thing is exempt from: birth, life, and death. Each will be ours in time, but the only thing we have right now is right now. Creating space for this fact allows us to take stock of what is, which in turn gives us an opportunity to become more prepared for what is to come. This is a time to reflect, to delve into the depths of one's soul and sit there for a while. I'll close with a prayer. Grandmother of mystery, lovingly and tenderly transform and prepare me for my coming rebirth. Tend me in my grieving and my healing. Bring me rest and release, peace and wisdom, renewed strength and joy. Wise and ancient God, I thank you for your wisdom of seed and flower, of fruit and falling leaf. Please journey with me through the turning tides of my life and teach me the value of each. Blessed be.
my care team hat. It's now time for matters of the heart. We come together from the multitude of our lives, and we bring with ourselves the pain, the joy, the laughter, and tears in our hearts. It is right and holy to bring our entire selves into this place. If you have highs or lows which you feel moved to share, I invite you to come forward and share briefly. If you're online, you may raise your physical or virtual hand or type in the chat. Please start with your name.
While you gather your thoughts, we're going to have a brief musical interlude here, and then we'll open things up for people to come up to the front and share at the microphone. Bring this time of sharing to a close. We're going to sing Spirit of Life. The lyrics will appear on the screen in just a moment.
The trees flaunting their colors at the sky in other times will follow where the leaves have fallen, and so shall we. Yet other lives will come. So may we know, accept, embrace the mystery of life we hold a while, nor mourn that it outgrows each separate self, but still rejoice that we may have our day. Lift high our colors to the sky and give in our time fresh glory to the earth.
And now we will have our closing song, Breaths.
Bum ba dum bum 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 ba dum bum bum ba dum ba dee a dum Ba-dum, da-dee-a-dum, listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestor's breath when the fire's voice is heard. 'Tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the waters. Those who have died have never, never left. The dead are not under the earth. They are in the groaning woods. They are in the mourning rocks. They are in the crying grass. They are in the groaning woods. The dead are not under the earth. Listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestor's breath when the fire's voice is heard. 'Tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the waters. Those who have died have never, never left. The dead have a pact with the living. They are in the woman's breast. They are in the wailing child. They are with us in our homes. They are with us in this crowd. The dead have a pact with the living. So listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestor's breath when the fire's voice is heard. 'Tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the waters.
For our closing words today, hope continues. Now, I just want to point out that this was written by Reverend Kevin Jago, who is the minister at Bucksmont, not too far from here. But I got it from the UU worship words. So, when the candle dims, the wax almost spent, the light turns amber like a sunset. Still, it provides light. Still it provides heat. Still it can kindle new flame and pass its glow on and contribute to new illumination. When sunsets turn to new days, when seasons transform all, when the candle dims, all is not lost. Hope continues, uncertain and true, like candlelight, ready to spark again, all is not lost.